This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Mark Taylor! I'm trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good... the Friday morning to you and yours, starting a long weekend. It is DCR right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go around the horn, say good morning to the guys. Busy. This is a good sports weekend, which we need because the weather, I don't know if you guys have seen it, this weekend is supposed to be absolutely horrendous. Good morning, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. I'm in a great mood because it was last night where I found out that we were going into a three-day weekend. And I actually asked the guys behind the glass when I got here at the studio today, which would be better, finding out that you just have a three-day weekend, that you're going into a three-day weekend, or finding a $100 bill? And it was unanimous.
Oh,
it was unanimous in the control room that finding out you have a three-day weekend the night before is better than finding $100.
Not even close. I would up it to at least $500. And I say good morning to Rick, and I ask you, Rick, how is it possible he didn't know this was a three-day weekend?
That's a great question. That is a great question. This could explain his little slide in getting to know your co-host. We were talking about that before the show. When was the last time Canty's won one of these things?
Did we ever determine when, in fact, that was?
Well, yeah, I mean,
it had to be over a month. Has to be.
Has to be because, yeah. You know, you were red hot. Like, you were red hot for a minute, and then all of a sudden, now I got red hot.
Yep.
Canty, well, we had Carlin in, so he did one. So it has to be at least 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah,
at least.
I would say. Because Chris had a commanding lead. Now I believe you're actually leading, getting to know your co-host.
This is what happens. When you insinuate to Canty that all of a sudden we've gone from regular season picks to now all of a sudden playoff picks.
Yes, yes.
Tightens up.
It's a valid point. Now, Chris, how did you stumble upon the fact that, in fact, this is a three-day weekend?
I was watching the nightly news, Dave. I was watching my guy David Muir, and he was talking about the holiday weekend travel. I said, oh, Monday is Memorial Day. Oh, we actually don't have to work. That's interesting. Not that what we do is work, but I'm just saying, like, I found out that we're not having a show on Monday. Well, not us three as a show unit. And so I was just like, wow, I get an extra day to just kind of hang out. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, but that, here's the thing, though, Chris. Don't when you're watching the news and you hear about a holiday, don't assume that we're going to be off on the holiday.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? Because this wasn't like, oh, the whole company has the day off. You guys also have the day off.
No, the day after Thanksgiving. How many times have we done that show?
Yes, yes.
Dave, we did a show on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we got bamboozled into that one. Because that was the Thanksgiving I came over to your house, right, Rico?
Yes.
Yeah, bamboozled into doing a show in Rick's
attic.
Do you
remember when we came back from break and it's like, where is Rick? Oh, he's working on the turkey. Oh, okay. Well, Chris, you and I will just carry this thing for a while. So, yes.
Oh, it's a frying turkey. I mean, what do you want to have happen with the frying turkey?
It was outstanding,
the turkey
though.
Is it factual that at the time we came back from a break, you were not available to do the show?
No, I was not.
Okay. No, but it's also a fact, Dave, that turkey was delicious.
I'm sure it was.
Outstanding.
He's a terrific
He's a great cook. Great cook.
Yeah. But I love Memorial Day weekend, but did you guys happen to see what the forecast is for this weekend?
It's a washout, right?
The entire weekend, like from tonight all the way through Sunday. All the way through. Monday might has a chance. Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because I dominated the grocery store yesterday. Dominated it. Oh.
Well, how do you dominate in a grocery store?
That's a great question.
Well, it was one of those times where you just walk in and, like, you know how me with the produce? I start getting anxiety with the produce because I got to go avocados and I got to test which are ripe but not too ripe. Yeah. And I got to go, like, all these different things. She wants, you know, I got to get apples and pears and strawberries and blueberries. Like half the cart is produce. And it was just one of those days. Every avocado I picked up was perfect. Right to the strawberries.
That's actually very impressive because finding the right avocado, not an easy thing to do.
It's a skill.
Yeah, yeah,
it is. You know this, can't he?
100%.
It's a skill because sometimes you think it's just it's ripe, but then you take it home and it's mush, it's not ripe. It's too ripe.
Right. You would think that that would be something that I was good at, though, being able to judge the right softness of it. It didn't come naturally for me.
It's not something you possess.
No.
Is that something that you can acquire, or is it you're just born with that?
I think some people are just naturally good at it, and I think other people, like, if you go enough and really you start, I mean, it could be melons. It could be.
I'm great with melons. Really.
No, this is something this is one of your hidden talents. Is the melons? I think it's something that you can acquire. You know what I'm saying? Like the more you do it, the better you get at it. But there's a lot of fails. I mean, a lot of times you fail trying that, especially with the melons. Got to smell the melon. Got to get your face like up in the melon.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody ever look side eyes at you and they're like, what is this guy doing with the melons?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because
he's lurking with the melons.
Yeah, I mean, especially during the pandemic when I'm like at the mask on trying to smell the melon and like,
are you still fully like hazmated up when you go to the grocery store?
I go mask and gloves still.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at the minute, dude, it's like the Hunger Games now. I mean, you go into this place and all the Amazon shoppers, animals.
They're very aggressive.
Very aggressive. I'm getting with carts. The guy comes up.
Time crunch. They got to get in and out. They're not you who, that you know, if it takes you an extra 15, 20 minutes, you know, it's fine because you need to get the exact right thing. They don't care.
Yeah,
Dave,
but the looks that they give you when you're trying to do your grocery shopping, that's the part that catches me off guard. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, get out of our way.
As if you're in their grocery store,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Get out of my grocery store. All right. So, game three tonight. 7 o'clock, right here, 98.7 ESPN. Game four, Sunday, 12:30, right here, 98.7 ESPN. How are we feeling? Now, let me start with you, Chris, because your Lakers win. You're up 2-1. You're not a Knicks guy. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feel from the outside looking in on where we are at the Knicks right now?
I think the Knicks are in a good spot, man. I mean, we've talked about their point guard troubles and how Julius Randle has been struggling, but I still feel good about this team just because of the way that they defend. If you look at the first two games, the pace is one that favors the Knicks. I mean, you're talking about the first game being 107-105 and then the game a couple of nights ago being 102-91. So, I mean, when you start talking about it being a lower scoring affair, I think that absolutely favors the Knicks. We know how much firepower that the Hawks have on the offensive side of the court. But, I mean, the fact that the Knicks have been able to slow the tempo of this game down, the tempo of this series, I think that's something that favors them. And I got to believe, guys, that Julius Randle, the real Julius Randle, is going to show up in this series at some point. Game three on the road would be a great time for that to happen.
See, that's the key. Yeah, I mean, for me, that's really what it comes down to, is how well Julius Randle plays moving forward. Chris, I would give a little bit of pushback as far as the pace favoring the Knicks. I understand what you're saying because, I mean, this is not where, you know, Atlanta's, you know, offensively just had, you know, one of those nights where they just go off and, you know, score, you know, 120 and blow you out. But when all of a sudden this thing gets, because Atlanta's now a better defensive team than they were early on in the season.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
What concerns me about that is that when the game is slowed down to this kind of pace and you're going half-court offense, offense does not come easy for the Knicks right now. It doesn't. Offensively, the better team, especially with Trae Young, is the Hawks.
Close. Well, you're not going to win a shootout, though, against the Hawks. If the scoring is in the 120s, like that's going to favor the Hawks just because they score a lot easier than the Knicks do. So I hear where you're coming from, but we said coming into this series, like the Knicks are going to have to slow this thing down, grind this thing out, in order to have a chance to be able to win this series. Like, I just feel like when the scoring is lower or depressed, I think that favors the Knicks just because, like you said, it's hard for them to get buckets, especially in the half-court sets.
No, I guess my point is, like, it would be nice that, you know, turnovers, whatever it is, points in transition, like, to get some easy buckets if you're the Knicks, because when all of a sudden you get into your half-court sets, it's not... It ain't coming easy for them.
No,
right now.
It's not pretty and it's not easy. And you're right. And you always think, like, run it, push it up. But again, you don't have that point guard. And it makes it very difficult for the Knicks. It always feels like we go back there, right? With all the things they do well, with the how well they're coached, it always feels like it goes back to, yeah, but they don't have that point guard. Whether it's the half court, whether it's transition. And I agree with you. I mean, easy points would be great, but you don't have that guy to run in the open floor.
But not only that, I mean, the other thing, too, is, and we spent the last couple of days talking about, you know, the first two games and, you know, how important it was to get, you know, Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett going early. I mean, that's really where you miss having a legitimate point guard. Like, a Chris Paul goes into the game thinking to himself, okay, I'm going to get Ayton involved early. I'm going to get Booker involved early. Get to your spots. I'll find you. I'm going to make it easy. Get some easy looks. And all of a sudden, you get going. And then I'll take over in the fourth quarter and score points when I need to. The Knicks don't. I mean, Payton's not that guy. We've seen that. And Derrick Rose is more of a scorer than he is a facilitator. So it's like it really becomes, you know, up to Randle early in the game to get himself going. And he hasn't been able to do that yet.
Now,
his first half was, I mean, game two, his first half was bad, like really bad.
No. If he gave you another half like he did in game two, in the first half, we would have opened the show yesterday destroying Julius Randle. That's just the truth of the matter. He was bad in game one, and he was horrendous in the first half of game two. We would have killed him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. I mean, he didn't make a bucket in the first half. He had two points.
We would have gotten calls, do you really want to pay this guy? That we would have started to get those calls. So he really, at least for the moment, saved himself in the second half of game two. Now, Bernard King, the great Bernard King, was on with Greeny yesterday and was asked about Julius Randle. How can he kind of adjust his game moving forward in game three and on?
I think that he's going to have to look for more of his early offense. And what I mean by that is Randle loves to receive the ball on the wing oftentimes if he's not taking the three-point deep shot and then back his man down toward the low post. When you do that, you're going to get double-teamed far more frequently. And so what happens, everything begins with the catch. And so he has to catch the ball if he wants to get into the basket, catch the ball closer to the lane as opposed to the wing position and then trying to back his man down. And so if you go back in deeper to catch that and then turn and face and take that drive as he's capable of doing left to right, it's going to put more pressure on the front line of the Hawks, creating more fouls on the front line. And I think that will help get his game going, Greeny.
So I don't know if it does or not, but that's certainly a good voice to hear from about, you know, making your own offense there.
Well, Seth Greenberg was making that same point yesterday on Get Up, and he was talking about Julius Randle catching the ball in the high post. That way he can see where the Hawks' double team is coming from, and he can get the ball to the open guy. Like, so much of his struggles have been trying to force things when he's getting double and triple teamed rather than making the right basketball play and deferring to teammates that are going to get better shots than he is. So I think a part of that, even though he's been struggling, is going to require him to be a little bit patient in terms of knowing when the opportunities are going to be there for him to score the basketball. But just because he can't score doesn't mean he can't make a good basketball play.
Yeah, that's on his teammates too, though. I mean, that's the other thing is, I mean, like, let's have some more movement. I mean, the Knicks have the most success when they have more movement and the ball moves. I mean, there's a lot of times where, you know, Randle catches the ball, and all of a sudden, I mean, he's getting double-teamed, and then there's a bunch of... You know,
everybody's before, like, watching.
Everyone's watching. Everyone's standing around. Like, move. Get in his line of sight. The one that frustrates me is when he gets the ball, and, you know, he dribbles down, and all of a sudden the double-team comes, and he leaves his feet, and now all of a sudden it turns into, like, you're holding your breath, like, where the hell's this ball going?
Mm-hmm. I do feel like when he's been doubled in this series, it's been very slow. Like he's been doubled, he'll continue with his dribble. It's like you got to get rid of the basketball, no?
Well, yeah. I mean, in theory, that sounds great as long as your teammates are making shots. But you're also, I mean, to my earlier point, he's trying to get himself going because he realizes how important he is. Like, and what's crazy about him during the season, too, is, like, some of the spots that he likes to shoot from aren't easy shots.
No.
They're not easy shots.
No, he loves those, like, baseline fadeaway shots. And he's so good at them.
But yeah, he's behind the basket, though, Dave. Like, he's behind the backboard when he's taking that shot. It's unbelievable.
But during the regular
season, those shots.
During the regular season, when he's taking that shot, I don't feel awful about it. And for some reason, in the postseason, it's like it feels like it has no chance to go in.
Well, yeah, Dave. That's because in the first three halves, of this series, he was 6 for 29.
Oh God.
Yeah. So it hasn't been great. So that's why you're kind of cringing when he's taking those shots. You just want him to get some easy looks at the basket early on so he can kind of get himself into a rhythm. Like, as a player, I'm sure once those guys see the ball go in the bucket, it makes it a little bit easier for them to get in the flow. That's why everybody was so excited when coming out of halftime in game two, he knocks down that three. You're like, okay, now the Knicks are going to be able to get it going. And they did.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, when he starts making that three, especially with how they're trying to defend him, that was a game changer in game two. Because all of a sudden, the defense loosened up. Like, all of a sudden, he was driving, he was getting in the paint. And then, I mean, you see what happens to the Knicks when Trae Young collapses their defense. Like, once Julius Randle started getting into the paint.
Yeah, it changes the entire offense.
It changes everything.
Changes the entire offense. All right, 800-919-3776. So, obviously, a lot of NBA today. Yankees, that's a big win in game two of that doubleheader last night for the Yankees. So they get the win there. The Mets, I mean, offensively, I don't think I've ever seen a team more challenged than they are right now, yet they sweep a doubleheader against the Rockies yesterday. The fan behavior in the NBA is despicable right now. We got to get into that. So 800-919-3776. And I have an update. Chris, how long do you think it's been since you won Getting to Know Your Co-host?
Well over a month, Dave.
Yeah, 7 weeks since you last won.
Almost 2 months.
Seven. Seven.
And I'm only a game out of first, right?
Two.
I'm two games out of first?
I don't know. Yeah, do you have the standings of where we are with Getting to Know Your Co-host?
It's 6-4-4.
Yes, Rick has a two-game lead on everybody.
Oh, two-game lead?
So,
okay.
And we have put an end date on this, so there's a magic number now that Rick is counting down to.
Well, this is terrible then. So I need to cater this towards Chris.
Yes, you do, Dave.
Because if Rick wins, then
it's a wrap.
You're telling me we're done in 3 weeks, then it's over.
Well, technically, if Rick wins, the worst he can do is tie if he wins this week.
No.
Yeah.
Don't start manipulating the game now. Play the game the right way.
If he wins this week, he wins because Chris can't win when he's hosting, and I can't win when I'm hosting.
True. If we stick to the format, yes, then that would be it.
Yeah, this is like game six for the Islanders going up against the Pens.
Chris, call me.
I'll call you.
No, don't start
I'll shoot
that
you a
now.
Text message.
No, yeah. I mean, with the history of this show,
I like
cheating.
Chris very much. Maybe I just want to catch
up.
I
know, but
it's better for the
history
show.
Here.
It's better for the show, though, Rico, if this thing drags out to the very end. It's not good to have getting to know your co-host, the competition being over with 3 weeks to go.
If it's over, what are we going to do?
Oh, look at what has happened.
Here's the other thing I don't appreciate, and this is, again, I don't know if you guys plan this or not. Is RJ no longer puts, like, you know, which guests are going to be on which shows on the rundown. So when you ask me the question, I go to the rundown to cheat and nothing's there.
Yeah, because he knows.
Frustrating, really. You ask me what's on Greeny, nothing. I got nothing.
You know he's going to be on KJZ this morning.
I think Trey's dad, Ray.
Yeah, Ray Young.
Ray and Trey.
Now, is that lazy?
No.
No, Ray
no,
and Trey?
Dave.
No. Ray
no.
and Trey?
Just because it rhymes,
so if his name was Ogdon Bogdanovich, you'd be okay with it?
Ogdon instead of Bogdan?
Yeah. Ogdon Bogdanovich.
No, that's lazy. That's lazy.
But Trey from Ray is not.
Well,
No, I mean, Trey is, it's not lazy.
No, it's not
especially
lazy.
Especially if you have, I mean, if there's any, and I can't, he's not that big of a guy, but if you think your kid's going to be like a superstar basketball player, a good nicknames too, Ice Trey. I like that. That's a good nickname.
Well, Trey is his middle name, though, right? I think his first name is Ray or Rayford, isn't it? Something like that.
So he's Ray Trey?
I think so.
Okay. Now, this is a different conversation.
Uh-huh.
This is a different conversation.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. York. It's DCR.
Good morning, Dave. I'm in a great mood because it was last night where I found out that we were going into a three-day weekend.
How did you stumble upon the fact that, in fact, this is a three-day weekend?
I was watching the nightly news, Dave.
Just as the holiday weekend is here.
I was watching my guy, David Muir, and he was talking about the holiday weekend travel. I said, oh, Monday is Memorial Day. Oh, that's interesting.
This is DCR.
I'm a big fan of lurking, Lonnie. There's no negative connotation towards lurking. You have nothing to be concerned about.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN on the Friday. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Rick, you'll be very pleased. I actually came up with my list of five questions for getting to know your co-host well in advance of the show this morning.
Look at you.
That's right.
Look at you putting in the work.
Last night before bed, these things were done. Locked and loaded, ready to go.
Am I a bad guy? Does this make me less of a baseball fan? Because you guys know how much I love baseball, that I don't mind the seven innings now at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I don't think it makes you a bad guy.
Not at all.
I don't know. And I think you dislike it, or you're okay with it more so because the Mets are the Mets are kind of built for this.
But the bullpen's been good.
Yeah, the bullpen has been good.
And your boy Lucchese, who you were just, I mean.
Stop it.
Bad mouthing day after day.
Stop it. I mean, he had a good start last time, and he was good yesterday. The Rockies are dreadful.
Awful.
My God.
Which makes that loss that they had earlier this week against the Rockies look even worse.
Look at the lineup they're trotting out there, Chris.
You're right, Dave. You're right. But the Rockies had won two road games before coming into that game on Monday. Two.
They would
grand total of two.
They would do.
They would do?
They would do for a road win.
That's how you choose to look at it? I guess you'll take three out of four, though, right?
You win three out of four, absolutely. Listen to the lineup the Mets trotted out there in game one. Listen to this. VR, fine. He's okay. Lindor, who had one hit yesterday. James McCann is batting third. Billy McKinney, fourth. Neto, fifth. Drury, sixth. Peraza, who did have the home run, seventh. And Cameron Maybin, who has as many hits as the three of us combined, batting eighth yesterday. That's not a major league lineup.
Maybin can't catch a break either. Cannot catch a break.
That was some play by Story on him, huh?
Cannot catch a break. Well, not even so. I mean, Story made a great play too, but then he hits one. He hits one to third, and the shortstop is somehow able to pick it up and get the force out at home. Like McCann must not. He just wasn't. He didn't get a good jump, or he was waiting to see if the ball was caught. But then that turns into a fielder's choice. So again, no hit. Yeah, this is smoke and mirrors at this point. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, when
smoke and mirrors
teams,
and great pitching, right?
Good pitching, good
Stroman
defense
was good.
And here's the other big bonus. We got three first basemen now, which is always nice.
That's what you need. Load up on first baseman. I mean, God
the guy,
bless
the
him.
Guy you signed, one of your big offseason signings to be your catcher. It's now your first baseman.
Taiwan Walker might come off the IL today to pitch.
I think he's supposed to
be the only one.
Yeah, the most disappointing news. Well, there's a couple of things. The Syndergaard being shut down for 6 weeks.
That's terrible.
And then finding out that Conforto and McNeil
end of June now.
Yeah, that's huge.
You just have to tread water, right? I mean, it's supposed to rain all weekend. Maybe they don't get these games against the Braves in.
Yeah, I don't know how they're right now. The NL East hasn't been good at all, but I mean the fact that they're still in first place is amazing.
I think they're pitching
this lineup.
I think they're starting pitching and their bullpen have been sensational. Because offensively they are gross.
No, I know, but I mean that's easier said. Like, okay, good starting pitching. Like there's been plenty of, like the Yankees, have been getting good starting pitching too, and they offensively have struggled, and they have some of those turn into losses. Like these Mets games, they're turning them into wins. Is what's amazing. I mean, you won a game 1-0.
Yeah. And you feel like
Stroman
was great, by the way. He was great. Diaz, listen, for all the negativity we've had towards Edwin Diaz, he's been really good this year. Really good.
Like, how many times do you win a game when you have three hits?
You don't.
Well, but they did. In game one, that's what they did.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen. And the second they score the one run, you're like, all right, can we make this hold? Like, it's not really a thought of, all right, can we put on two or three or tack on or insurance runs? It's like, can we make this one run hold up now? And in game one yesterday, they did.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what they've been doing. I mean, they've been getting good pitching. The bullpen's been good, and they're playing really good defense. And it's a different way that they're scoring runs. I mean, this is more, trying to steal bases, running the bases well, making good defensive plays. I mean, they're cobbling this thing together.
Yeah, God bless them. I don't really know how. Let's hear from the skipper, Luis Rojas, on the impact of the Syndergaard injury. Here he is.
We're just counting on him with being here probably a month or less than a month from now. And, this is happening is, it's tough, but it's good to hear, with all in all, it's good to hear that there's no structural damage in the UCL and that, he's still, let's see this work the with the 6 week without throwing, and we're going to let now the performance staff, the medical staff work with him throughout that time and get some of that inflammation down and getting some strength back up in there, and then that's when the throwing's going to start again.
Yeah, that's 6 weeks without throwing. So I mean, that's, you add another 6 weeks to that, then
so
you don't even know what's
the earliest you can see him. September.
Yeah, I mean, talking, I mean, 12 weeks.
12
and that's if,
do you even risk it as a player going into free agency?
Well, I'm sure he's going to want to get back at some. If the Mets, it would depend on where the Mets are at.
Okay.
I mean, if the Mets are set up to make the playoffs, I mean, that would be a good time. I mean, he wants to. I mean, you're going to only increase your value.
Meaningful games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you go out there, you're healthy in September on, and you're good. I mean, you're going to make yourself a real commodity on the open market.
And this is why, the second I heard this news, the first thing I thought of was the article where he's talking about, grounding his feet in the sand and, living in the hyperbaric chamber and all the things he was doing. like all the work that he was putting in to make sure he could come back. Now, inflammation, he's set back.
6 weeks, a long time, too.
6 weeks, that's a long time. Because, I mean, again, it's not just, it's 6 weeks not throwing.
Right, he's shut down for 6 weeks. And then you have to ramp back up and get yourself healthy and back. I mean, I mean, what are we now? We're June 1 on Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So best case scenario, so he's shut down through mid-July and then to ramp back up. I don't think there's much of a chance you're going to see him before September.
Well, yeah, and then at that point, I mean, where is he at? Right? Like, I mean, how long does it take him to all of a sudden be Noah Syndergaard again? Because if it's meaningful games and he's, you know, you can't rely on him just because he's not ready yet.
I guess the hope is that September is like an extended spring training for him, right? And then you make it to October and you're in the postseason and you have Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, that would be the hope. I mean, that was the hope. It's just, it's depressing to think that he was, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, seeing the end of this. Like, okay, we're going to get... Can you imagine what this rotation is going to be? Stroman's been good. I mean, Stroman was awesome yesterday.
He's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Walker's been better than anyone could have imagined. DeGrom is DeGrom. And I'm going to get Syndergaard back now.
And Carrasco, right?
And Lugo. You're like, okay. Like, now we're talking.
Yeah. And this was supposed to happen in June, right? All of this was supposed to happen in June.
Yeah. Yes. They'll get Lugo back here soon. But just the injuries are crazy. I mean, this is...
You've never seen anything like this.
Nah, I mean, I think the Yankees
a couple years ago. Yeah, it was bad, Dave. It was bad.
Without seven, I mean, your first baseman's out, your second baseman's out, your third baseman's out.
Center field, I mean, you're on.
You're starting center field, your backup center field, your right fielder.
Hold on, time out. You're underselling the center field situation. It's your center fielder, your backup center fielder, your backup to your backup center
fielder. That's right. All three center fielders are out.
No, four.
Who's the fourth?
What do you mean, who's the fourth? Fargus.
Oh, yeah, Fargus also,
wall,
right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, you're on Maben now.
Yeah. You're making trades for guys, and now they're batting third and fourth in your lineup.
Yeah, McKinney actually had a pretty good day yesterday.
Yeah, made a nice catch, had a big hit.
Listen, we'll take it from anyone. VR's been good, too. I mean, I thought I was going to...
And Peraza, too. These were good pickups from Sandy.
Yeah, if I told you who was responsible, who hit the solo home run to win game one? Would Peraza be the first one on your list?
No.
And you might as well. I mean, Lindor's been. I mean, that's the guy you're counting on to kind of carry you a little bit. He's been. I mean,
I'm now becoming more and more agitated every time he comes to the plate and makes out. It's two full months now, Chris.
It's enough of a sample size, Dave. I mean, he's been bad, and you're just wondering when is he going to pull out of this nosedive. But it doesn't feel like he's anywhere close to being able to turned into the guy that we saw in Cleveland. It doesn't feel like that at all. Doesn't feel like he's going to be able to live up to that guy that you paid $341 million to right before the season started. Like, he's nowhere close to being that kind of player and having that kind of impact for your team.
What makes it worse, though, too, Dave, is that watching the Yankees and watching, like, the way Judge is hitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's locked in, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but that's what you expect, right? I mean, those are the guys that when you're dealing with injuries, those guys, you know, on the field, they step up and they start carrying you, and he hasn't been able to do that at all.
No, not even a little bit. And I will say this, and I think we've all mentioned it on the show, that we're not in love with Luis Rojas as the manager, but the guys play for him. Like, their backs are to the wall, and they're hurt up and down the lineup, and they come out swinging. They do play for this guy.
I think that's so over... In baseball, so overrated.
How so?
That they play for this guy. They're playing because the guys in this lineup right now are guys that are looking to keep jobs.
Yeah.
They're playing for themselves.
They're winning games.
That part. That's the interesting thing, Dave. If they're able to weather this storm and all of these injuries that they have right now, I know we've been critical of Rojas, and it feels like he's a little bit in over his head, but if they're able to survive this and stay in the pole position in the NL East, you're going to have to give him some more respect. You're going to have to put some respect on his name. It would be an
first. There's a lot of screens. You're seeing different Dopplers.
He knows all about the Doppler.
Yeah, he's a big Doppler guy.
He's probably. Well,
I don't know exactly who it is.
Well, this is the first time they let him in that room, though. I mean, that was the first step.
Look at this room.
We're going to bring you into the Doppler room.
All right,
keep it quiet, though.
Yeah, and we talked to exclusive forecast expert.
That's the other thing, though. I mean, let's be serious for a second. I mean, the other day we had the Yankees. It was, I mean, Michael's at Yankee Stadium. It couldn't be more beautiful outside. And Don, games postponed, weather. Oh, which is great. I mean, that's great for the fans. Like, I don't need to show up. Like, cancel the game so I know.
And the Mets wait until, half an hour before?
Yeah, but they got this fancy Doppler room with multiple screens and everything else. They got their own dedicated meteorologist that they use, and you're going to have me come all the way to the game, get into Citi Field, and then you're going to cancel it?
That's exactly right. That's what they're going to do.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Yankees lose the opener yesterday. I got to tell you, these like Obi Toppin and Alec Manoa, these when the mom or the parent is watching them to weep, that's a lot for me, man. Really. I mean, those are moments those are priceless moments.
Well, you say it's a lot for you. I couldn't imagine how those parents feel in the stands watching their kids come out there on that stage and do what they do. I mean, Obi Toppin in the playoffs, growing up a Knicks fan, you know, and his background, and then the Manoa kid yesterday. I mean, he was awesome, Dave. I mean, what, two hits? He allowed two hits in the Yankees phenomenal. Over six innings? And he was unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't like Domingo Germán pitched bad. He gave up those two solo home runs in the third inning, but I mean, you're talking about two runs beat you. Like that's not supposed to be able to happen with this Yankees lineup. But I mean, that's what happened in the first game. Thankfully, DJ LeMahieu got things started off the right way in the second game, and we were able to get a split. But I mean, that kid's performance was great for a major league debut. You couldn't ask for it to go any better.
I mean, the Yankees didn't get a runner in scoring position the whole game. No.
Yeah, the only one that got a hit was Miguel Andujar.
That was it. He's the one with the hits.
Yeah.
And then
major league debut. I could only imagine. Dave, you watch your kids play. I mean, there is nothing more nerve-wracking. Nothing. Milo played his first game as a goalie. I couldn't even watch it.
It is so stressful, and especially when they're on an island, right? Like if you're playing basketball, you're one of five. But if you're pitching or you're a goaltender, you're on an island. And to watch your kid in that situation, when all you've done, Rick, is try to like help them through every moment of their lives, and now it's like, all right, you go at it, have at it. It is not easy.
No. I mean, you're so proud, though. I mean, in the moment, I mean, you're so proud, but I mean, the level of, and you could see, I mean, Obi Toppin's mom's crying. Like, you could see, it went to the point where Aaron Boone, after the game, was asked about it, and because it was, you know, obviously the doubleheader, like, Yankee Stadium was fairly empty. And they actually asked him after the game, like, was it weird having, like, that many people cheering? Because it was his family and friends, and you could hear them. Like, was it weird that you're getting dominated by this kid, and all you can hear is his family cheering for him? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it was different being at Yankee Stadium and hearing that kind of, you know, fan reaction for the opposing team. But, I mean, I can't even, like, I could not imagine, like, Milo's six, that if ever he, and I don't even care what the sport would be, like, to see his first game, like, in any sport, would be
on that stage.
I don't know. I don't know how
you would
react to it.
You would completely lose your mind. But you see the way all these parents are. Remember, like, was it Steven Matz's grandfather? And I mean, it's a very emotional. Because think about the amount of time you put into it, right? Think about the amount, and you're just at the beginning stages of that. But it's so much time, and think of the amount of time your parents put into you as a youth hockey player, and then to watch it pay off, and you know, the ultimate dream and goal of what they've been trying for their entire lives. Oh, what a story. These I love that stuff.
Well, you also know as a parent too, right? If it doesn't go the right way, you're going to be the one that has to pick up the pieces. Like in the back of your mind, like if this doesn't work, like if he doesn't have a good game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure you've had plenty of car rides home like that where they don't, Ben or Alex doesn't have a good game and it's a
yesterday.
Breakdown on the ride home.
Ben went 0-for-4 yesterday. I stink.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, you don't stink. I stink. I can't hit the baseball. I thought I was a good hitter. I'm not a good hitter. I'm like, stop it. Your last at bat, you lined out to center. Doesn't matter. I didn't get the run in. There was a guy in third and one out. I'm like, oh, God. We won. I'm like, Ben, your team won. Doesn't matter. I need to be better. I'm like, oh,
it's dumb. It's uneducated. It's ignorant. And it's dumb.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, listen, Yankees, they split yesterday. Judge with the big home run. They win that game. No Chapman. Right? Now, I guess he's sick, but did you have a moment yesterday when Chad Green is warming up, Chris, where you're like, oh, God, you got to be kidding me?
No, I mean, because Chad Green is a guy that you would trust. I mean, especially
No, I just thought, I just didn't know what the issue was with Chapman was at the moment.
No, nobody did. God. Nobody did.
Right.
But, I mean, it's an illness now, and they don't know whether or not he's going to travel to Detroit with the team. So I'm curious to see what that is. They say it's not COVID-related, so, I mean, I'm sure more information will come out in the coming days. But, I mean, listen, the bullpen has been great for the Yankees. I mean, there aren't too many guys that you would cringe when they're coming out of the bullpen and say, I don't trust them in that spot, especially with the lanes that Aaron Boone uses them in. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I felt good about that game. Once I saw Aaron Judge hit that two-run homer in the third, it was like, okay, this is a game that we're going to win. And then we see a solo home run from Gary Sanchez in the fourth. I'm like, yeah, this is a game that we're definitely going to win. So,
yep.
I wasn't worried.
Let's hear from Aaron Boone. Here he is on Chapman, missing a little bit of time here.
Yeah, he's been sick the last 2 days. So, yeah, he wasn't available at all today.
But the good news is it's not COVID-19 related, right, Skip?
He's taken a lot of tests in the last couple of days, and we don't believe it is that, no. So we just believe he, you know, got a bug and think he's hopefully coming around. I know the second half of today was a lot better, but he's gone under a number of tests at least the last few days, and we think we're okay there.
Rick, my thought last night in watching the game, when I'm watching in K, is like, you know, it's Chad Green warming up and not Chapman. I was like, oh my God. Like, the Yankees fan is going to have a complete nervous meltdown. And then you find out he's sick. You're like, okay, whew. Only a little.
Well, I think everyone was. I mean, K wasn't the moment.
Right.
That was the first thing he said to Cone, because they were, I mean, they were going over how, you know, how rested the bullpen was and how it was lined up. And the last time that Chapman pitched, and it was, I mean, that's, you got a 2-run lead. I mean, you're going to Chapman. As good as you think Green is, you're going to Chapman because he's been, I mean, he's been the most dominant closer in baseball.
Yeah.
How about my favorite play of the second game? How about when Carlos Mendoza sends
Sanchez
from third?
That was bad.
I mean, he
wasn't even close. Was he wasn't even 40, close.
By 40 feet.
Kay goes, he got him by 30 feet. And he's like, well, no, I watched the replay. That's more like 45 feet.
Oh my God. Have you ever seen a guy out by more than that?
No.
I mean, he was like halfway down the baseline.
Well, he was still, I mean, he was just rounding third when Bichette had the ball. Like, it was like there was and it's Sanchez running.
Yeah, that was,
yeah.
You talk about a close play at the plate, that was the exact opposite of that.
The only thing keeping that from being the most embarrassing play in baseball yesterday was Will Craig.
The Javi Baez.
Yeah, Will Craig.
I mean, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
I love that. If you were on the Cubs, I mean, you saw how crazy they were going. That was awesome.
Well, I get it, but I've never seen anything like that before. He starts running back towards home, and he's literally almost on home plate.
He's almost on home, run scores, and then no one's covering first, so he gets the first. Ball gets thrown away. He ends up on second.
That was a little league play is what that was.
But what
yesterday.
The hell was Will Craig thinking? What was he thinking?
he didn't think that Javi Baez was going to take it as far as he took it.
He went all the way with that one.
You're right. He was legitimately standing like almost next to the catcher. And then he was like, oh, no, this run's going to score. He tries to throw it to the catcher.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go to MLB.com or ESPN.com. You have to watch this play with the Pirates and the Cubs yesterday. So it's the Tigers this weekend, which is, mm-hmm. is not much.
Next week is a big week, though.
Next week is a huge week. It's Tampa for four starting on Memorial Day. And then Boston comes to town. All these games at Yankee Stadium. But that's a big week for the Yankees next week.
It's a big week, and those are the two teams that you're looking up at in the division. So, I mean, we thought that Boston was going to be down in the cellar in the AL East, but that hadn't been the case. And, I mean, they're a half game back of the race. So, I mean, this is a chance for the Yankees to put themselves where they want to be. I mean, you could be talking about them being in the pole position in the AL East at the end of next week. So, I mean, it's a huge week that they have coming up. Huge week.
Which is amazing, though, when you look at, I mean, we all thought the NL East was going to be the best division in baseball,
mm-hmm.
which clearly right now it's not. I mean, but, I mean, there's four legitimately good teams right now in the AL East.
Toronto is on the verge of being very good. Tampa, and shame on me, because I thought that this, not that it would be the end of Tampa, but I didn't think they would be this good again. I mean, they have a completely different bullpen.
I don't know how they do it, though, Dave.
It's amazing.
I don't know how they do it. I really don't.
Because they have to. I mean, that's it. Because they have to. And the Rays just traded their shortstop.
I know. But do you see who they have up in the system now? I mean, they've got one prospect in baseball, and they didn't even bring him up yet.
Well, because they're flush at that position. They took the next guy in line before they get to him. Here's an amazing thing too. Going back to the Mets in the NL East, you realize that the Mets right now. Well, I know you know this. So they have a 2.5 game lead right now in the NL East. Their run differential is -9. Run differential is -9. They're still last in the National League in runs. And they got the second worst batting average. And somehow, some way, they're
winning a division, which we thought was going to be really good. You're right. But you look at this American League East, and I think it's a mea culpa for me. I mean, they're going to be better than I thought they were. I thought the Yankees, Chris, would easily, like hands down, get to July, non-issue, win this division. And I've changed my tune. I don't know that Boston's going to be there for the long term, but I think Tampa's going to be there all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dave, I thought this was going to be a runaway with the Yankees winning this division this year, too. I think Pecota, the projections, preseason had it as such, and yet we're talking about the Yankees being in third place, you know, going into the month of June. This is not something that anybody anticipated, but I just showed you, I mean, the competition in these teams in this division, they're not going away. Like, we've got enough of a sample size to realize these teams are going to be battling with the Yankees all season long. So, I mean, this is going to be a slug. And I think it's really going to come down to the Yankees being able to find guys that could step in that starting rotation and hold it down for them, especially with Kluber having an extended absence. You got to find some other guys that can step up and be frontline pitchers. You're hoping that happens, but I think that's gonna be what the season hinges on in terms of the Yankees setting themselves up to have the kind of postseason success that all the Yankees fans are looking for.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, you've been very upset in the past when they have not been things we've gone over on the show. I believe each and every one of these has been discussed either on the show or off the show, but with the three of us. So you should go 5-0 in theory.
Well, in theory, I mean, that sounds great. I'm hoping I go 5-0. I've been since the 5 o'clock hour. I've been anxiously awaiting the segment.
I see what you're doing, Dave. I like it too. You're trying to put pressure on Rico. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying that he should know the answers to these questions.
Because he can wrap it up right now.
Exactly.
He can wrap this thing up today and just coast home to a very comfortable victory. All right. So let's get back to the Knicks. 800-919-3776. You know what I absolutely love right now? They are, and I know that they won't be in a month from now when the Lakers are still standing and the Nets are still standing. They're the story right now. Listen to any sports talk show around the country. They lead with the Knicks, the Garden, the fact that they're back, they're competent, they're relevant. Do you understand how much this has changed in the last year?
New York, we're here.
Was and where they are right now?
Yeah, I think we all realize it. I mean, I'm still having a hard time believing it. Right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, from where the Knicks were at, the laughingstock, Kevin Durant saying they weren't fun, like the Knicks weren't fun anymore, to, you know, where we're at today. Going into game three of the playoffs, which not one person, I don't care how big a Knicks fan you are, predicted they would be in the playoffs. 15,000 people going crazy at the Garden.
That to me is just unbelievable. Just seeing the energy that was in that building the first two games of this series, seeing how excited Knicks fans are, not only for the playoff games, but just about what the team has accomplished during the regular season. Like I couldn't have imagined that this season would have gone so well for Tibbs and for Leon Rose. I mean, Leon Rose deserves to be executive of the year for what he's done this year. Like, that's how good it's been for the Knicks in getting this program turned around. Because they've got the foundation in place now to have sustainable success. Like, you feel good about the direction of this team, where they're headed. Like, we talk about what's going on with this series, but beyond this year, like, you feel good about the Knicks being a competitive team, you know, for the coming years. Like, I can't say enough about the job that they've done. It's been really, really impressive to watch how they've got it going back in the right direction.
Yeah, but how often in sports, Dave, let me ask you this question. You both of you guys this question. How often in sports do you see this kind of turnaround? I mean, you mentioned Leon Rose. I'm giving much more credit to Tibbs than I am Leon Rose.
But Rose deserves a lot of credit, right?
No, I think he does. But as far, I mean, you act like, I mean, you brought back Derrick Rose, and all of a sudden he's turned into your best player here in the postseason. I mean, Taj Gibson, it's essentially the same team.
Yeah.
And you went from a laughing stock to this.
Burks, it's Rose, it's the addition of Quickley, it's Taj Gibson. You didn't add any sensational piece to this team that is now 1-1 in the first round of the playoffs.
No, you haven't, but that's the thing, though. Usually it's like especially in the NBA, like, you go, if all of a sudden, you know, one of the superstars decides that he wants to switch teams, like, you can see, a turnaround fairly quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, this is mostly the same team, and you went from the team that was supposed to win, it depends on what you're looking at, 21 games or 22 and a half games, to a team that won 41.
No, you never.
In a short season.
You never see a team that the expectation is A. They don't make sweeping changes, and they double the projection of what people thought they were going to do, what Vegas thought they were going to do. This does not happen. That's why the story is so phenomenal. And honestly, when I'm watching the play, I still don't understand it. I don't. I mean, Reggie Bullock, he's fine. Alec Burks, he's fine. I still don't understand rationally how they're sitting here 1-1 in the first round with home court against the Hawks.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you what it is. I mean, and Rick and I talk about this all the time. It's about the culture, and they have the right kind of culture within the organization right now. I mean, Tibbs is a huge part of that, but also the front office empowering the coach and making sure that they have the infrastructure in place to develop the players and get the most out of the guys that they do have on the roster. Like, all of those things matter in terms of getting things pointed in the right direction. And so many times when the Knicks decide to make a change at the top of the organization, it's a knee-jerk reaction. They want to run after stars and go after guys that might not necessarily be the best fit for the direction that the coach wants to take the team in or what's in the best interest of the program long-term. But that hasn't been the case this year. Like, they didn't go out and make that move. You know, at the beginning of the season, fans were clamoring to get Russell Westbrook in here. That turned out to be, it was okay that they didn't make that decision. Like, all of those different things matter. And sometimes, as an executive, it's not about the moves that you do make. It's about the moves that you don't make. And clearly, with Leon Rose, some of those moves that fans were asking for early on in the season, they didn't necessarily need to do in order to get to this point.
Let's go to Kamani in Babylon. Kamani, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. First time, long time. I just wanted to say the same thing that you guys have already basically said, was that, all these new stars, these young stars who've known the Knicks to be basically trash for the last 20 years, and hearing people say, oh, the MSG is the mecca of basketball. They're probably like, what do you mean the mecca of basketball? But now after seeing these two playoff games, hearing people chant MVP to Randall on other arenas, now they really know what it means to be a Knicks player. And maybe that could be the biggest advertisement, bigger than Wesley or Leon Rose, to get some of these new stars here to really understand what it means to be a Knicks player and when the city is rocking behind you. Just want to know what you guys thought about that.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think even if you collapse, and I don't think they will, but even if you collapse and get hammered in games 3, 4, and 5, this season has already been a tremendous success because you've changed the narrative within the organization.
Oh, because you actually win now. So, I mean, this is a situation where you pick the player. I mean, you can go in and now feel like you're that missing piece. Right, like you see what this team needs. Okay, they're missing a point guard. And hopefully De'Aaron Fox is saying to himself, okay, I can be that missing piece that gets us to that next level. Because, I mean, it's with what the Knicks have been, I mean, it's going to take, like, you're a star player. It's going to take more than just you. And you're the star player. So you go realizing that it's going to need, I mean, you need multiple pieces. They don't have. You go, you lose. And everyone knows, Chris even knows, he won a Super Bowl. Like, New York is great to win when you're in New York. New York is a tough place to play when you lose.
It's the
really
worst.
Tough place to play when you lose. And who wants to sign up for that when I can just show up at Madison Square Garden? And what made it the Mecca wasn't the Knicks. It was the fans. And it was the attention. You go to Madison Square Garden, you have one of those nights, best players would show up, have great nights, have career nights, and then they get to leave. They don't have to stick around,
no.
Deal with the losing.
No, get on your way. Own the Knicks, own the city, be discussed, all over the country, and then you get to go play wherever you play.
If you were a comedian, right? Like, and you wanted to do, stand-up.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say this. In getting to know your co-host, there's a question about stand-up comedy. Yeah, very interesting.
Like, I don't necessarily know if New York City would be where, like, I wouldn't want to go to, Caroline's wouldn't necessarily be the place where I went and worked on my material.
Nah.
No.
I mean? Like, that's...
No.
That's where I got everything.
Caroline's would be the destination where you felt like you were phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they have off-Broadway until you get to actual Broadway. Like, let's work out the kinks before we actually get to Broadway. Like, and that's what the Knicks were. I mean, there was a lot that needed to be worked out before it felt
many kinks.
Like a place you wanted to go.
Filled with kinks. Matt in Rockland. Good morning, Matt.
Hello?
Hello, Matt. You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Grew up on the Knicks with Michael Jordan breaking my heart. It's just very exciting to have them back in the playoffs. It's like a weird feeling because you're not used to it. But also, Rick, I just wanted to say you guys used to do the segment of Did It Happen in Florida? And you had mentioned that you guys never did multiple segments in the same segment. But that's false. You guys used to do like four or five in a row, no?
Well, that was because it was its own segment, Matt. You're right, but that was its own segment. That was the whole segment was Did It Happen in Florida? This new one is Knobs and DHIF in the same time frame.
Gotcha. So you combined them, yes?
Yeah, we combined them. Yeah, RJ's taking full control of the show. He's, I mean, CMT's different.
What?
I mean,
don't talk about RJ like that. RJ's done a great job in putting this thing together.
You criticize CMT every time we do it.
But I think RJ's done a great job.
No one said he hasn't. Did I say he hadn't?
You just intimated like you're disappointed with the job that RJ's done.
No, I did never intimated anything. That's why it's different.
Felt like it was.
I had a DHIF story yesterday that would have blown your mind. The excuse.
Literally, probably. Let's go to Val in the Bronx. Val, save us from us. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, DCR. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Val. How are you?
Since we spoke. I'm okay. I'm trying to do the right thing. It was a long, long time ago I got on the phone with you guys, and the producer put me on, and I just started going. And it was like 3-4 minutes into it, and I realized that something happened, and I either lost connection with you guys or you guys lost connection with me, and everybody was yelling at me, like, would you let us speak? And I wasn't doing it on purpose. But, you know, the excitement that I had then, I still have now. I love what my Knicks are doing. And the thing that is so amazing is that, like you said a moment ago, it's the same team that we had. I mean, think about the time that we lost. You know, and I think one thing that people need to give credit to, I love what Leon Rose did. I love what Tibbs has done, the way that he organized my guys and makes everybody know exactly where they need to be. But what needs to be said, the other coaches that are underneath Tibbs, the way that they kind of directed them to each of the different spots on the floor, where Julius has somebody that's actually telling him exactly what he needs, where the guards have somebody. I mean, we could use better point guard play, but the coaching staff, the way that they're actually itemized to each spot on the court, and this extra group of people that are in the background behind Tibbs, they have done also a phenomenal, phenomenal job, and I think they need a little bit of credit too. I'm going to get off the line. Thank you guys for taking the call. Y'all have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day.
Well, thank you so much. I agree. I'd be hard-pressed to criticize anybody from management all the way down, from ownership to GM to president to coach to assistant coaches to anybody. They've done a phenomenal job with this team this year.
I think one of the coaches, too, that we talked about this a bunch of different times, though, is Kenny Payne and what he's been able to do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they trust him. But isn't that the thing, though, too? Like, how many times, like, even when we had Fizdale, like, we were sold out. Well, the reason we're hiring him is because he's got great relationships with D. Wade and LeBron. Well, I mean, okay, that's fine, but does he have relationships with other people that are going to actually come here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Because I mean, it feels like these guys actually have relationships.
Come here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Worldwide West, Leon Rose.
Especially with those Kentucky guys, Kenny Payne and Worldwide West.
Yes.
Yeah. Strong relationship with those
Fox.
Dudes.
Just give me De'Aaron Fox, please. Just give me. Come on. You don't want to be
everything.
In Sacramento. Stop.
It would change everything. All right. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Let me change this one to something Canty can easier get. Learn more at progressive.com. All right, Chris, my good friend. Are you ready to play Getting to Know Your Co-host?
I'm ready to go, Dave.
Okay. I hope you go
Give me some
five.
Layups now. Let's go.
Dave, all right. Dave, let's Dave, play the open. Here we go.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... Oh, my God. And away we go on a Friday at 6:45, like we always do, getting to know your co-host. Now, RJ, can you please give us the updated standings in this game show that's sweeping the nation?
Yeah, so we have decided that this and three more weeks will wrap up this contest for now, season one, as it were. Rick has a 2-game lead.
Oh, God.
But since obviously there's a rotation on who hosts, it is possible for Rick to...
If he wins today, it's over.
He would have a 3-game lead with 3 to go, and obviously everybody else would host one more time, so that limits how many times you can win, yeah.
Oh, that would be awful. All right, Chris, let's go.
Let's
go.
Let's do it, Dave.
All right, now. Are you both ready to go here?
Yes.
I'm ready, yes.
All right. Question one. I took out a loan to go to Super Bowl 35. The loan was for A, $5,000, B, $10,000, or C, $15,000. Loan for Super Bowl 35. You should have seen it. I went into the bank. I said, I got to talk to the manager. Sit down. I need a loan. Well, why? I want to go to the Super Bowl, and I need a sizable amount of money for that. How much was that? A, $5,000. B, $10,000. C, $15,000. You guys good? You ready?
Yep. Good.
Yeah, I don't remember you saying this on the show how much
I believe I remember.
Oh, good. There you go, Chris. Number two. I've mentioned this many times. Best game I've ever seen in person. Best game I've ever seen in person. A, Super Bowl 42. B, Stephon Matteau's overtime goal against the Devils in 94. Or C, the moment the Rangers won the Cup. Best game I've ever seen in person. A, Super Bowl 42. B, Matteau. Or C, Game 7, Vancouver, when the Rangers won the Cup. You good? You locked in?
Yeah, yes. I don't feel confident, no.
No?
No, I'm good, yeah.
Okay. Well, I like that he's uneasy here. Question three. Every day before the show, right in front of you guys on the Zoom call, I eat A, a protein bar, B, a granola bar, or C, a bagel with tuna and tomato. So every day right before the show, we log on, we do our Zoom call. I eat a protein bar A, a granola bar B, or a bagel with tuna and tomato. You may be familiar with when I screamed this.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Well, that wasn't exactly how I had planned it. Let's do that again. You may be familiar when I screamed this.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
So that was in an Atlantic City bathroom. But who are we there to see perform stand-up comedy? A, Jerry Seinfeld. B, Bill Cosby. Or C, Eddie Murphy. We were in Atlantic City to watch who perform, Seinfeld, Cosby, or Murphy. And question five, and the final question. My first trip ever to Atlantic City. Ever went to Atlantic City. I A, won $5,000. I B, lost $5,000. Or C, even Steven. First trip to AC. Ever. 21 years old. A, win $5,000. B, lose $5,000. Or C, even Steven. Are you guys ready to reveal here?
I think I'm ready, Dave.
Okay, Rick, are you ready?
I'm ready.
As ready as I'm going to be, I think.
Okay. Here we go. The loan for Super Bowl 35 was A, $5,000, B, $10,000, C, $15,000. Rick, let's start with you.
I think you went $15,000.
All right, you believe I went 15. Chris?
B, $10,000.
Now, I could lie, but I'm not that kind of guy. Rick, you're correct.
Yes!
$15,000. Because I didn't just want tickets. I wanted the full experience.
Have the money, y'all! There's poor people around.
The full experience. All right. All right, Chris, let's go.
It's not a great start.
Not a great start. You're only down by one. It's okay. Rick, you're 1-0. Chris, 0-1. Question two, Chris, you'll start. Best game I've ever seen in person. A, Super Bowl 42. B, Matteau's overtime goal against the Devils. C, when the Rangers hoisted the cup on June 14th of 1994. Chris?
Well, I know it wasn't Super Bowl 42, right? Because you were, that's the infamous naked video with you holding your son. So I'm going to go with C, the moment the Rangers won the Cup Game 7.
Rick, you will go where?
I'm going Mateau.
Oh, God. That's correct.
Yes.
Mateau. And Chris, you did such a great job. I wasn't at Super Bowl 42. The Giants have been to five. I've only been to one, but it was not actually the moment they won the cup. It was the overtime, double overtime game against the Devils.
Gotcha.
All right. All right. Question
not looking
three.
Good.
It doesn't look good at all. Every day before the show, I eat A protein bar, B a granola bar, or C a bagel with tuna and tomato. Rick, back to you.
Billy Smith used to eat a tuna bagel before every practice. Oh,
I love that.
No, you're not when he's in your face telling you need to poke check. It's not. I'm going to go with granola bar.
All right. Chris?
I'm going to go with granola bar as well, Dave, which puts a lot of pressure on the last two questions.
Well, you're both wrong.
It was protein bar?
It's a Think protein bar.
Oh.
Every
that was a chance to steal. How
morning.
Did I screw that up?
It was a great chance to steal. All right, so 2-1 to 0-3. Question 4.
Come on, Rick.
An audio question. When I screamed,
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
You guys are the worst.
This is amazing. It's amazing.
Really? Let's try it again. Let's see if they can get it done. Or one of you play it. Just one of you. When I screamed this.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Great job. It was an Atlantic City bathroom. We were there to see who? Jerry Seinfeld, Bill Cosby, Eddie Murphy.
You want me to go first?
I think
is it you? No, I think it's Chris goes.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? Rick should go first because I got to win the last two questions.
Right, that's fine. Give him a chance to go the other way.
RJ, can you play some like good some winning music or something?
I know, because he knows the answer.
Because I like to take my time when I'm knocking the boots. Bill Cosby, my friend. Bill Cosby to win. Get to know your co-host. Thank you very much.
He won it. I mean,
Chris, the answer is B,
but I gotta go. I gotta go against it, so I gotta go see Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, he's right. It was William H. Cosby.
What a comeback!
Do we even go through the fifth question?
Yeah, we gotta go through the fifth question. Now we gotta finish the game.
All right, my first ever trip to Atlantic City. I A won $5,000. B lost $5,000. Or C was even Steven. Rick, what happened?
I think you won 5K.
You think I won 5K? Chris, what do you think?
I think you were even Steven. See?
No, I won 5K. You won $5,000 cold.
Just didn't get one right with Dave Rothenberg.
Yeah,
after
you
coming
don't know
in
me
so
even
confident.
A little bit. And these
I'm
are
so
and,
confident.
And Rick, defend me here. These are all things we've discussed on the show or in off-show meetings.
The best questions you've asked. Combined as a group. Best question. Best five. Yep.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm saddened to say you won.
Wasn't ready to go, Dave. I told you I was ready to go, but I wasn't ready to go. I lied to you, and I feel bad about it because I opened the door for Rick DiPietro to win the game.
Yeah, and that's it. Now he won it, and I don't want to play the game anymore.
I mean, that's just not even just a win. I mean, that's...
Well, now you and I are going at it, right, Dave?
Well, I guess we're battling for second.
Yeah,
yes.
We're battling for second.
So what is it now? 7-4-4, RJ? Okay. All right. So
I was in last. This is, I mean, you talk about...
Oh. Yeah, it's Herculean what you've done here.
Late
very
season.
Impressive.
Oh,
very impressive.
And I was rooting for you. If I could have wheeled you into a win there, Chris, I would have. But I there's nothing I could do.
Yeah. I should have... You know what, though? The second question, the Mateau question, Dave, I should have known it because you were so descriptive about that one answer.
Yeah.
I screwed it up.
It was a trick question.
I screwed it up.
It was trick question. Because, I mean, that's it. If you know... Well, it's a trick question because obviously you know. I mean, you know going into it that you told us 1,000 times that you were holding your son naked for that Super Bowl. So we know that's already out. A's out. And then it's like, I think you threw in the cup because that seems like where I'm going to be drawn.
It seemed like that's where you would have gone, yeah.
It's a trick question, but I know you.
Yeah, you do. You really do. You know the co-host.
Apparently, you know both of us.
Yeah. More than you know the two of us better than we even know ourselves.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.